Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, 26 April, 2026, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, and our Sunday morning class, we finished our study in Romans chapter 8, and now, at this point in Romans, the Apostle Paul introduces a major parenthesis. And this major parenthesis is three chapters long. Chapters 9, 10, and 11 is the parenthesis. Having been a famous Jew, Philippians 3, 5, it was the Apostle Paul's desire to lead the Jewish people to the Lord. Paul always had a burden for the Jews, but they were not to be the objects of his ministry. In fact, the opposite occurred. The Jews followed him all around the Roman Empire, trying to destroy his ministry. But the power of God overruled. Paul's was a ministry of grace and truth. And regardless of his failures or sins, God protected him from the Judaizers. Paul understood very clearly that while he was burdened for the Jews, he would minister to the Gentiles. The parenthesis of Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 tells us that the Apostle Paul totally understood and believed that God has a unique plan for Israel and the Jewish people. And that brought us to a study of the doctrine of Israel's uniqueness. We noted in point one of that doctrine that the racial uniqueness of the Jew, the Jews are a totally unique race. They were unique in their origin, and they are still unique today. The Jewish race was founded on regeneration, faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 4, 1 through 5, Romans 9, 6 through 13, Jesus Christ is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, believer, in fact, the very first Jew in human history at 99. He was a believer. Isaac was a believer in Jesus Christ. Jacob was a believer in Jesus Christ. The true Jew, true Israel, are those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So the Jewish race was founded on regeneration. So God developed a new race through regeneration and faith in Jesus Christ. And then we note a point two, Israel is a unique nation. Their government was unique. It started as a theocracy. They were the first priest nation or client nation in history. Every Jew was considered a priest under the concept of the client nation, Exodus 19, 5 and 6, Hosea 4, verse 6. Today, Gentile client nations provide a haven for the Jews to protect them against anti-Semitism. And then point three, we studied the unique promises to Israel. The unconditional covenants to Israel makes Israel unique as a people. God has given Israel four unconditional covenants. The Abrahamic covenant, Palestinian covenant, Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant. All unconditional covenants have an eternal life clause based on the fact that Israel has a future both in time and in eternity. So, the covenants to Israel can be defined as the sovereign disposition of God, whereby He establishes a declarative compact with Israel, obligating Himself in grace to bless Israel. The Abrahamic covenant defines the race for client nation Israel. Abraham became the first Jew in human history. At the age of 99, he was a spiritually mature believer, and at that moment of circumcision, that was the sign of spiritual maturity, and he was the first Jew in human history. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, Genesis 22, 15 to 18, Exodus 6, 2 through 8. The Palestinian covenant defines the land for client nation Israel. And this is the real estate covenant. Numbers 34, 1 to 12. Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 through 8. Joshua 1, 1 through 4. The Davidic covenant defines the dynasty for client nation Israel. And that is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His true humanity, is the Son of David. And that Davidic covenant is the dynasty for the nation Israel. 2 Samuel 7, 8 to 16. Psalm 89, 20 to 37. And then the new covenant defines the restoration of the client nation Israel at the second advent. And it's millennial function. Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. Point four, the unique discipline and restoration of Israel. We know that Israel is disciplined through the five cycles of discipline taught in Leviticus chapter 26 and restored through the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel is the only client nation to God that received the five cycles of discipline and yet in the future will be restored as the client nation to God in the millennial kingdom. Now that brings us to point five in the uniqueness of Israel. The unique antagonism and attack on Israel called anti-Semitism. the unique antagonism and attack, worldwide attack, on Israel, anti-Semitism. So let's start with that this morning. One, anti-Semitism comes from the ruler of planet Earth currently. The ruler of planet Earth right now is a fallen angel, Satan. He's ruling planet Earth now, but the Lord Jesus Christ will return at the second advent, and he will rule planet Earth as the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, as the Son of David, sitting on the throne of David in Jerusalem. He will rule the entire planet Earth. Satan will be put in prison during that thousand-year reign. But right now, the ruler of planet Earth is a fallen angel, Satan. And anti-Semitism is satanically inspired. There is no rational reason or purpose for it. No rational reason or purpose for anti-Semitism. Two, the conspiracy against the Jews says that there is a Jewish conspiracy against the rest of mankind. And that is a complete reversal of the truth. A total, total lie. So the conspiracy against the Jews says that there is a Jewish conspiracy against the rest of mankind. But that is a total, total lie. Three, the Jew is unique because he is the object of one great conspiracy by Satan. The Jew is unique because he is the object of one great conspiracy by Satan. Four, Satan administers this conspiracy through various groups and powers and nations at different times in history. Satan administers this conspiracy through various groups and powers and nations at different times in history. Five, Satan uses nations, international organizations, socialism, communism. Satan uses nations, international organizations, socialism, communism. Six, the Jewish people are the most attacked people in history. The most attacked people in human history. Seven. Satan says, get rid of the Jews, and you have solved my problem. Get rid of the Jews and you have solved my problem, Satan's problem. Eight, but the Jews are still here. And they will always be here. And it We're living at the church age. We're probably near the end of the church age. It will conclude with the rapture of the church. Following the rapture is the 7-year tribulation period. And in that tribulation period, there will be a remnant of Jews that will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That Jesus Christ is the only Savior and Redeemer. And they're going to place their faith in Christ. And that remnant will be rescued by Jesus Christ at the second advent and go into the millennial kingdom. And they will be restored as the client nation to God in the millennial kingdom. And the whole world will be blessed by Israel in the millennium. The whole world blessed in a magnificent way. Blessing by association with Israel in the millennial kingdom. So 8. But the Jews are still here. And they always will be. Why? 4 unconditional covenants God gave to them. Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. Those are unconditional covenants. They will be fulfilled when Christ comes back at the second advent and establishes His kingdom on earth. Rescues the remnant of Jewish people that have believed in Christ as their Messiah, and they will go into the millennium. So, the Jews are still here, and they always will be here. They are a demonstration to the world of the faithfulness of God. It's a demonstration to the whole world of the grace and power of God, the faithfulness of God to fulfill the unconditional covenants He made to the nation Israel. Then point 6. The Jews are unique because God will regather them when He comes back at the second advent. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent, He will regather them, and the whole world will be blessed by association with Israel in the millennial kingdom. The Jews are unique because God will gather them at the second advent, and the whole world will be blessed by association with them in the millennial kingdom. 7. The uniqueness of Israel will become the preeminence of Israel at the second advent and after the millennium forever. The uniqueness of Israel will become the preeminence of Israel at the second advent and after the millennium forever. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 14. Now that's our Tuesday night class, Zechariah. And we will be in chapter 14 before you know it. Probably the rapture will have taken place and we will finish it in heaven. Not to worry. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14, verse 16. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. Gentiles from all over planet Earth, believers in Jesus Christ, will travel to Jerusalem every year for Bible conferences to worship the King, Jesus Christ. Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, Jesus Christ, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, Jesus Christ, then they will have no rain. And you have no rain, you have no crops. They will have no rain. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Lord will bring on them the plague He inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. On that day, holy to the Lord will be inscribed on the bells of the horses and the cooking pots in the Lord's house will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty. And all who come to sacrifice will take some of the pots and cook in them. And on that day there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty. And that's a symbol for all unbelievers. Zechariah 14, 16 to 21. So Israel and the Jewish people are totally, totally unique. And God has made it very clear and promised to Abraham, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. That's why one of the best things that's going on in America, we're a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. We're making a lot of bad decisions as a nation. But the best thing that's going on is we have a president who is the friend of Israel. The friend of Israel. And I will bless those who bless Israel. Our president is a friend and ally of Israel. He understands how evil Iran is. Iran is totally under the influence of the devil, the ruler of this world. He's trying to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, and he calls them the little Satan, and then Iran calls America the great Satan. Iran is the greatest terrorist evil nation on the earth right now. And President Trump, with Prime Minister Netanyahu, I will bless those who bless Israel. I will curse those who curse Israel. We are blessed to have a president that has the cojones enough to fight evil and to be a friend of Israel. That's the best thing going on right now in America. And that might put the finger in the dike and give us a little bit longer. All right. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, the Jewish problem. Israel's present discipline does not hinder Israel's glorious future. The interruption of the dispensation of Israel and the intercalation of the church age, we're living in the church age. The age of Israel was interrupted. It hasn't been completed. It'll be completed in the 7-year tribulation period. But right now we have the the church age from Pentecost to the rapture. The purpose of the church age is to call out a new spiritual species, the body of Christ, the royal family of God. And that's going on. And now, every Jew that believes in Christ as their Savior in the church age is a part of that body of Christ, is a part of the royal family of God. And that they are a new spiritual species. Fantastic! We got a fellow down here, Greg Morton, born again. He's placed his faith in Jesus Christ. He's a Jewish by race. He is now royal family of God, a part of the body of Christ. And that's fantastic. And there's marvelous exceptions like that all over America. So, Israel's present discipline does not hinder Israel's glorious future. The interruption of the dispensation of Israel and the calling out, the intercalation of the church age does not in any way prevent the glorious future of Israel in the millennial kingdom. All right. Well, we got a next. We got three chapters here. We have to get an outline of those three chapters. So here we go. Outline of chapters 9, 10, and 11. All right. Roman numeral 1. The consideration of Israel's rejection. The consideration of Israel's rejection. Roman numeral 1. Romans 9, verses 1 to 29. Romans 9, 1 to 29. Underneath Roman numeral 1, A, introduction. The sorrow and burden of the Apostle Paul. Romans 9, 1 through 5. The sorrow and burden of the Apostle Paul. Romans 9, 1 through 5. B. The light of biblical history. The light of biblical history. Romans 9, verses 6 to 13. The light of biblical history, Romans 9, 6 to 13. C. The light of biblical principles. The light of biblical principles, Romans 9, verses 14 to 29. Romans 9, verses 14 to 29. All right, now Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2, the explanation of Israel's rejection. The explanation of Israel's rejection. Romans 9, verse 30. Through chapter 10, verse 21. The explanation of Israel's rejection. Romans 9, verse 30. Through chapter 10, verse 21. All right, underneath Roman numeral 2, A. The stumbling block, the stumbling of the people. The stumbling of the people, Romans 9, 30 to 33. B, the ignorance of salvation by grace, not by works. There, in the Apostle Paul's day, and many times all even up to today, the religious Jews are very religious. They talk about the Mosaic Law, and they think that they're going to be in heaven because they are keeping the works of the Mosaic Law. No one will be in heaven because of any works, whether it's the works of the Mosaic Law or any works you perform. Salvation is by grace through faith. faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But, and the Apostle Paul realized it as much in his day. He, before his salvation, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And he would go out and he was being following the Mosaic law, and he was rounding up Christians and taking Christians in, and they were being executed. And after his salvation, Paul said, I'm the worst of all sinners. When he was rounding up those Christians and doing this, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, who are you? I am the Lord. And Saul of Tarsus, that unbeliever, placed his faith in Jesus Christ. He understood the problem that so much many of the Jewish people have. They think that they're following the works, obeying the works of the Mosaic law will get them into heaven. It won't get any of them into heaven. Paul knows that. He would love to see them just simply place their faith in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and receive the gift of eternal life and His righteousness. It broke his heart. You're going to see in the first five verses, the Apostle Paul, it broke his heart. He even says, I would be willing to take their place and go to the lake of fire if they would simply believe in Christ as their Savior. Wow. That's quite a statement. So B, their ignorance of salvation by grace, by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all work. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Now, 1, underneath B, the desire of the Apostle Paul. Chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, the desire of the Apostle Paul. 2, the description of legal righteousness. Chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. The description of legal righteousness, chapter 10, 3 through 5. And 3, the description of faith righteousness, chapter 10, verses 6 through 11. The description of faith righteousness, chapter 10, verses 6 through 11. And then we have C, ignorance of the universal character of salvation. Their ignorance of the universal character of salvation, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And then D, ignorance of their universal proclamation of the grace gospel, chapter 10, verses 14 to 21. Ignorance of the universal proclamation of the grace gospel, chapter 10, verses 14 to 21. Roman numeral 3. The consolation of Israel's rejection, chapter 11, verses 1 to 36. The Consolation of Israel's Rejection, chapter 11, verses 1 to 36. A. The rejection not complete. The rejection not complete. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Underneath A, 1. The case of Paul. The case of Paul, chapter 11, verse 1. Two, the choice of God. The choice of God, chapter 11, 2a. The choice of God, chapter 11, 2a. 3. The calling of the remnant. The calling of the remnant. Chapter 11, 2b to verse 10. The calling of the remnant. Chapter 11, 2b to verse 10. 'Glad you didn't move over and sit over there. B. The rejection not final. The rejection not final. Chapter 11, verses 11 to 32. The rejection not final. Chapter 11, verses 11 to 32. Underneath that, 1. The purpose of Israel's rejection. The purpose of Israel's rejection, chapter 11, verses 11 to 23. And 2, the promise of Israel's restoration. The promise of Israel's restoration, chapter 11, verses 24 to 32. Chapter 11, verses 24 to 32. And C, the doxology, chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. The doxology, chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. All right. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. The sorrow of the Apostle Paul. It breaks his heart. He's a Jew. He was born Saul of Tarsus. After his faith in Jesus Christ, he took another name. A name that means little, Pauleth, a name of grace. He became the greatest believer ever in the church age, the greatest believer ever, the Apostle Paul. Totally understood grace and truth. And he proclaimed that grace and truth all over the Roman Empire. But here we have the sorrow of the Apostle Paul. Romans 9, verses 1 through 5. All right, we start out Romans 9, 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. This is the present active indicative of the verb lego, plus the accusative singular of aletheia, plus the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative of Christos, plus the present middle indicative of pseudomai with the objective negative ou. Well, we start out with a verb, lego. Looks like that in the Greek. That's L-E-G, long O, Lego. A couple of things on Lego. First of all, this is the most basic word for communication or teaching. Legoing. I'm Legoing right now. I Lego 5 times a week. I have one doctor I go to, and he always, first thing he says, are you still teaching? Are you still the pastor of Upland Bible Church? I said, yes, I am. He goes, when are you going to retire? I said, well, when God says, get your butt up here, I'll retire. I'll be in heaven. Otherwise, I know what the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter. Do you love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. And I love my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I pray every day that He might give me the health and the strength to keep feeding His sheep. You're His sheep. You're not my sheep. You're His sheep, the Lord's sheep. And I am here for one purpose, and that is to feed the Lord's sheep. So this is the word Lego, the most basic word for teaching, communicating the Word of God. Two, Lego means to utter in words. It means to say. It means to tell. It means to give expression to orally, but also it's used in writing, the writing of Scripture, which is what we have here. The writing of Scripture. Three, the direct object of Lego one of my favorite words, aletheia. A-L, long E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. And aletheia is the Greek word that means absolute truth. Absolute truth. This is so powerful. He said, I am communicating absolute truth. Aletheia. The absolute. So point three, the direct object of Lego is the accusative singular of aletheia. Paul is teaching the absolute truth of the Word of God. Four, the absence of the definite article puts the spotlight on aletheia, absolute truth. And then we have the prepositional phrase, en Christo. That's the preposition en. And then we have the dative of Christos. In the dative, it's Christo, en Christo. En Christo, in Christ. In Christ is in union with Jesus Christ. At the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and baptizes you. The baptism of the Spirit enters you into union with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, in the place of honor. And at the moment you placed your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit baptized you, entered you into union with Christ, and now you are a new spiritual species. Now you are a part of the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body. We are now the royal family of God. That's en Christo. So in Christ, in union with Jesus Christ, as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, at the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ. One, Paul is a Jew by physical birth. Paul is a Jew by physical birth. Two, Paul is royal family of God by spiritual birth. Regeneration, faith in Jesus Christ, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul is a Jew by physical birth. Paul is royal family of God by spiritual birth. Regeneration, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Three, at salvation, at that moment of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, Paul has become a new spiritual species through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. At salvation, at that moment of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, Paul has become a new spiritual species through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Four, Paul is now a part of the body of Christ, royal family, in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Paul is now a part of the body of Christ, royal family, because he's now in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. All right. This is so powerful. And you're going to see how much it broke the Apostle Paul's heart. He gave the grace gospel. He taught grace and truth everywhere over the Roman Empire. But for the most part, the religious Jews, they followed him and tried to destroy him and his ministry. And it broke his heart. Now, there were marvelous exceptions, just like there are marvelous exceptions today in the church age. But we're going to take a break now and let you go out and have some goodies out there. We'll come back in about 15 for part 2.